For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So like I said earlier, Evan and Jewel are with us. I'm not going to give them a whole lot of introduction because we're really part of the Heritage family now. Amen. They're one of us. But they were, for anybody that wasn't here for our missions conference, they were missionaries in Africa for 39 or 40 years. In the Ivory Coast and then in Senegal. They worked in boarding schools in different positions, but they ended as boarding administrators and chaplains. And God just did some amazing things through them over there. They have lots of stories, and I'm sure he's going to share quite a few of those with us today. And so it is our privilege to welcome you guys once again.
Last time I was here, you folks did such a good job on worshiping African style. So I'm going to challenge you some more. Okay, you remember Pluo, all right? Pluo, 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 Pluba, 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 Ekaze, okay. Well, this one, we were doing an evangelism campaign in the middle of the town of Bouake, and I remember we did it in cooperation with an Ivorian youth group, and they sang the song, and I thought, this is great. And basically, the song is Ensemble, louons le Seigneur, il est vivant. And what it's basically saying is that all together, let's worship Jesus, he is alive. This is a great song, especially as we just celebrated Easter, right? So, Ensemble is together. Louons le Seigneur, that's louons, worship the Lord. Le Seigneur, il est vivant. He is alive. Okay, so repeat after me. Ensemble, louons le Seigneur, il est vivant. So ensemble, louons le Seigneur, louons le Seigneur, il est vivant. So, and this is motions again, but you're going to have to team up with at least one other person, maybe three. I'm going to team up with my beautiful wife. Come up here, honey. Yes. So, it goes like this. Ensemble, louons le Seigneur, il est vivant. 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 Now the fun part. And then you spin around. Louons le Seigneur, il est vivant. Louons le Seigneur, il est vivant. Okay, stand up. We'll just sing it without the motions. Okay, so ready? Ensemble, louons le Seigneur, il est vivant. 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 Louons le Seigneur, il est vivant. Louons le Seigneur, il est vivant. Okay, so you're doing that set. Then start spinning. Louons le Seigneur, il est vivant. Clap. So you got to spin pretty quick. Make sure il est vivant. Whack. So we'll do it slow. Start spinning. Louons le Seigneur, il est vivant. Clap. Yeah, right. You got to get that clap. See? Luan, Lasagna, Ile, Vivon, whack. All right? Start spinning. Luan, Lasagna, Ile, Vivon, whack. All right, we got you. Ready to go? Everybody dizzy yet? A little faster. Ensemble, Luan, Lasagna, Ile, Vivon. 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 Here we go. A-I-A-A. Start spinning. Luan, Lasagna, Ile, Vivon. A-A-A-A. A-I-A-A. Start spinning. Luan, Lasagna, Ile, Vivon. All right, you may be seated. Thank you for being such good sports. You'll never have me back again. It's good to be home, seriously. It was like coming in, came driving down the driveway there, Connie and Joseph's, I'm saying, we're home. Mom, we're home. And see familiar faces, hang out last night at Finn's, have a good meal out there. So thank you for having us back and getting dizzy on our behalf here. Just wanted to start with a video. We're going to be talking about, Stephanie read the passage. It was really from Ephesians. I said it said Philippians. It was really Ephesians. Ephesians 5. That's okay, but you read the right one, though. And we're talking about taking advantage of opportunities today. And the video I'd like to show is an opportunity our kids had in a place called Funjun. And we went up there a number of years ago because the National Church had bought this piece of property. And it was a nice big piece of property. And we were able to build a church there. Well, over the years, that area became very economically prosperous. It's on an estuary, and so there's a lot of commerce started coming, and that property really gained in value. Well, this big piece of property, a church is on it, but the town kind of wanted it now because it was so valuable. So the town comes to the church and says, you have this big piece of property. You need to use it for something. We said, well, our church is here. They said, yeah, but it's too big for just a church. You either use it or lose it. So they thought, what do we do? Well, one thing about Senegal is that they really think highly of education, very highly. And there was a school started by the Assemblies of God. And when it started, there was like about, I think, 70 kids. The next year, it doubled, just kept on doubling. That school now has one of the top reputations in Senegal. All their kids score very high on achievement tests. The governor of that region sends his kids there to that school. The minister of education sends his kids to that school. It's probably ranked as one of the top schools in the entire nation of Senegal, this Christian school. And they're teaching biblical values. But Senegalese don't care whether they're Muslim, Buddhist, they don't care. They want education, so they're sending their kids there. So this church in Funjun said, why don't we start a school? So they contacted us, and our kids said, wouldn't that be cool? We love building churches, but now be a part of building a school there. And so this is the outreach where we went to Funju. Not only did we were we able to build a school or help build a school, and you'll see it's a lot of muscle work. We did have a cement mixer, but we are putting on the second floor, the foundation. So it's the first floor is done. We had to pour the roof in cement, and we had to do it bucket by bucket because they're going to do a second store for this classroom facility. So we did that. Also did some evangelism. God really blessed in our evangelism campaigns. We had a prayer team that went around. Our prayer team saw God do amazing things. We did some community service, worked in one of the local clinics. We did an eye exam and given out eyeglasses. Anyway, this is our outreach to Funjun. Thank you. Is there another channel? She's sharing about a man that they prayed for that couldn't lift his arm. Here he is right here. He couldn't lift it any, probably about shoulder level. And so they came over and prayed for him. And he's kind of sharing a little bit what happened. And after they got done, here he goes. So all day long, he's telling people about this amazing experience he had where he was healed. The Lord healed him, and he has this total movement. Amen. Sorry about that. One of the channels wasn't working, but as I'll be sharing later on, I think there's demons of technology. Isn't that true? You check everything out, everything's ready to go, and all of a sudden, boom, doesn't seem to work. Anyway, the passage that Stephanie read earlier, I'm going to just focus a little bit on Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, the last few verses. It says this, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." We have opportunities every day to live out our faith, to share the gospel all around us. And these opportunities come in different forms. Some are planned, some are unplanned, some are convenient, some are very inconvenient, some are big, some are small. They can be challenging, or sometimes they can even be fun and spontaneous. But we all have them. And Scripture tells us that we need to make the most of them, the most of every opportunity. And so when I contacted Stephanie, I said, "Do you want me to give a regular message or a missions message?" And she said, "Anything you want." Well, I get only so many cracks of giving a missions message, and I'm a storyteller. So those of you that don't like storytelling, I'm sorry, but that's the way I share. And so I just want to share stories. Hopefully it'll be challenging and encouraging of just how God takes opportunities, when we take advantage of opportunities, how God uses those opportunities. When we first arrived on the mission field, probably before most of you were born, way back in the Ivory Coast, we went to the Ivory Coast Academy, and they already had an outreach program going there. And what was exciting about that outreach program, that the driving force behind the outreach program was the kids, the teenagers. They realized that there was too much focus inward. In other words, what was happening on campus? You know, what test are we going to have tomorrow? What's for lunch? You know, who's dating who? And they realized there was a world outside their gates that needed Jesus, and they wanted to take advantage of that opportunity. And so they kind of got the outreach program going. When we arrived, we wanted to be a part of that, and so we started getting involved right away, and eventually we had the privilege of overseeing and coordinating the outreach program. One of the programs that was part of this outreach program that we wanted to get going was Evangelism Explosion. Some of you have probably heard of Evangelism Explosion. It's kind of one-on-one evangelism. And we had a staff member and his wife were trained in evangelism. They said, yes, we will sponsor, you know, we will lead this team. So we were trying to get all the things arranged and see what kids were interested. And I remember I was in in town at the time, and I looked down the sidewalk and I saw this wallet on the sidewalk there, or beside the sidewalk. So I picked it up, and I said, "Huh, I wonder what's in here." Opened it up. There was probably the equivalent of a month's wages in that wallet, along with some very important documents. And you don't go places without documents in places like Ivory Coast. All kinds of important documents and papers in there. And I picked it up and I thought to myself, huh, this will be a captive audience for Steve, the staff member that was starting the Evangelism Explosion. I said, let me give this to Steve and see if this is an opportunity. So I said, "Hey, Steve, I think I have your first presentation right here." So I gave him the wallet. He said, "We'll see if we can track this guy down." Steve was also our business manager at the school. So he was able to track down this man that lost the wallet. The name of this man was Robert. So Robert shows up at Steve's office, and Steve says, "Come on in." And all Steve does, he just gives him the wallet and sits down. And Robert grabs it, and all Robert is thinking, "Well, I know the money's gone, but I hope my documents are in there. Those papers are in there." He opens up the wallet, and he starts giggling like a little kid. The money, everything is in his wallet. And so Steve said, "I'd like to share some other good news, if you don't mind." And the guy said, "Sure." So he sits down. However, Robert had an appointment that day, and so he was kind of in a rush. But Steve was able to present the Evangelism Explosion outline. But Steve told me later on, Robert left, and Steve said, I just didn't seem that satisfied with it. It seemed so undone, scattered. Robert was kind of in a rush, and I'm kind of disappointed how it went. Well, a week later, Robert comes back. Well, it's very typical in West Africa. When you're appreciative, you bring someone a gift. So Robert had this beautiful carving that he brought and gave it to Steve, said, "Thank you again, you know, for finding my wallet and giving it to me." Well, he said, can I ask something else, or can I talk to you about something else?" And Steve said, "Sure, sit down." Robert said, "You know what? You know what you shared with me about Jesus? I can't get it out of my mind. I'm going to sleep and dreaming about it. Tell me more. Tell me more." So Steve was able to share and led him to the Lord right there in his office. Steve said, it was almost too easy, because the Holy Spirit had set this guy up, that all Steve did was take advantage and just shared the gospel, and Robert became a Christ follower. So Steve was following up with Robert, kind of discipling him. We were all able to go when he ended up having his baptism at the church. And then Robert was telling us, he was saying, "You know, my friends are stopped coming to my house, because when they come into my house, I say, wait, stay right there." He goes, gets his Bible, and he starts witnessing to them. So he's witnessing to his friends. I think he led like 12 members of his family to the Lord. Then we said, let's have Robert come out to the school for a Sunday evening service and just kind of share his testimony. So I remember it was kind of a long service, and there was other things that were involved at the beginning of the service. And our kids, it was an evening service. Our kids were kind of, you know, getting tired and couldn't wait for it to be over with. But then Robert hit the platform. Boy, everyone came wide awake. He even had before and after pictures. He said, "Here's me before." And he had a picture that he had a cigarette in his mouth. And had his arms around two ladies like this. He said, "That was me before. But now this is me after. Don't I look beautiful?" He did. He looked beautiful. All excited about the Lord. A lost wallet. God used a lost wallet to find and redeem a lost soul. Just a wallet. An opportunity that God used. Well, that program, the Evangelism Explosion program, became very impactful. And the kids took advantage of it. In fact, it became one of probably our most impactful programs of the Evangelism Explosion. The kids going out. They go out on Mondays. And I loved be sitting there and hearing the van come back. And boy, that van was rocking. They're singing at the top of their lungs. And then to hear all of the stories that these kids were able to share. Some of the kids got so good at Evangelism Explosion that Steve, the trainer, took two or three of our 16, 17-year-old high school guys down to Abidjan, the capital city, to train African pastors in how to use Evangelism Explosion. Teenagers. In fact, one of them trained Anjul, one of our teenagers, trained Anjul in Evangelism Explosion. So they would go out on Monday, but after a while, it wasn't just a certain day that they did this. It became almost a way of life for many of them. I began mentoring this young man named Ben. And Ben just was on fire for Jesus. And I remember he said, "Would you mentor me?" And I said, "Sure." And after a while, as I talked to this young man, I'm wondering who's mentoring who or who's discipling who. I mean, he just was so in love with Jesus. Well, Ben was looking forward. He was a junior, and he was looking forward to his junior outing. They had these junior outings, like a four-day outing where they would get off campus, and their junior class was going down to the coast. And he was a beach bum. He loved, and he couldn't wait to get away from school and enjoy the sun and the sand. So I said, "Well, have a wonderful time." He takes off. 4 days later, he comes back, and I said, "How was your outing?" He said, "It was wonderful." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, the bus pulled up to the hotel." He said, "I get out. I run into the hotel, get my swim trunks on. I get my towel over my neck, and I start dashing for the water. Boy, I can't wait to get into the water." He said, "But on my way down to the water on the beach there, there was these three young men sitting on the beach, these Ivorian young men." And he thought, opportunity. So he stops, sits down, introduces himself, and during those 4 days, Ben shared Jesus with these three guys. And all three of them became Jesus followers. He comes back to the campus and then continued to call. These guys would call every once in a while, and he continued to disciple these three guys. You know, there's even opportunities on vacation out there. Ben saw it. I'm sure he still got his sand and, sun and the sand and sun and water. I think he got all that. But he also used that time to bring these men to the Lord Jesus Christ. We had another gal. Her name was Naomi. We called her our a school evangelist. Everywhere she went, she was just looking for opportunities to share Jesus. And I remember her dorm was going to go on an all-day outing to a swimming pool in town. And so they asked if we would go, and Jewel and I would go, and lifeguard. So I'm lifeguarding there. Some girls were splashing in the water. Some were just tanning themselves. And I'm looking over the water, and I see Naomi in the corner of the pool by the ladder. And she's talking to an Ivorian lady. I knew Naomi, and so I knew what she was doing. And she was there by that ladder in that water, standing there for about an hour talking to this lady. And sure enough, afterwards she comes over to us. She has this big smile on her face. She said she accepted Jesus. She's a Jesus follower. This lady was very highly educated. She was a veterinarian from Abidjan, the capital city. She was just up there for the weekend, decided to go swimming. Met Naomi. Naomi led her to the Lord. Taking advantage of opportunities. Well, that was in the Ivory Coast. But then we evacuated to Senegal. And I remember the kids that went with us to Senegal, they arrived there in Senegal, and they came over to me and said, "Okay, when are we going to start going out building churches? When are we going to go out and start doing some evangelism?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "Okay, it's a little different story here in Senegal. It's between maybe 90% Muslim. I don't know what we can do. I don't know if we have this opportunity, you know, if we're restricted. I don't know, but let's just keep praying and see." Sure enough, the missionary comes and says, "You think your kids would be interested in building a church and doing some evangelism?" I said, "Absolutely." Well, the church in the village that we wanted to go to, the name of the village was Giti. It was amazing how the church was started there. It was actually started by a lady whose father was the spiritual gatekeeper. Okay, this is hard to track. It's hard for me to track. But basically, he was the head fetisher, like you would, what we call a witch doctor, I guess, head fetisher in that area. And his job was he would allow certain spirits to come in and out. He was the gatekeeper. So the other fetishers kind of had to come to him. Well, when his daughter was small, he gave his daughter to the head spirit called Panga in that region as a bride. And just strange things would happen. Like every 6 months or 9 months, she would swell up like she was pregnant. She was just tormented by demonic activity. Well, at one point, she was going from her village, and she was going into Dakar, the main city, and she didn't have any place to stay, and she ended up at like a Christian guest house. Long story short, I mean, it's an amazing story. Long story short, she hears the gospel, turns her life over to Jesus Christ, is miraculously delivered. She goes back to her village, changes her name. I forget what her name was called. I think it was called Rejected One, translated. But she changed her name to Esther. That funny? What did Esther do? She saved her people, huh? changed her name to Esther, goes back to the village and begins talking about Jesus. Well, all the people in that region and in her village knew who she was. And so they're going, whoa, talk about transformation. So she's talking to the village elders, and a number of the village elders become believers. So the church comes and said, would you guys be willing to go out and build a church and do some evangelism and join Esther? We said, absolutely. So we go out there, and I remember at this point, there was only about 20 people that went out. And so I was with the first group that went out. We did it over two weekends. And the day went pretty good. We were, got the foundation kind of laid out. But then that night we wanted to do an evangelism campaign. So, again, technology, right? Before we left campus, checked out the generator, checked out the sound system. Everything ran perfectly, ready to go. Ready to start the campaign. Guess what? Start the generator. All right. Praise the Lord. Oh, no. We were just getting exhausted. Finally, we just said, it's at night. We don't have a local mechanic. We only have a gas station within miles. What are we going to do? So all we could do was pray. We just laid our hands on the generator and said, please, Lord, fix this. We want to show this film. We want to proclaim Jesus. Would you fix it? Boom. Yes, Lord. No, Lord. Yes, Lord. Well, all night it was doing that. So keeping us on our toes, talking about, oh, yeah, come on, Lord, keep it going. It went, it did that all night, but it didn't affect the sound, and it didn't affect the picture. And we showed this film, which talked about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ over the power of darkness. We were so far out in the bush. This film was in French. The people, a lot of them didn't know French, and so it needed translated. Guess who translated it? Esther. Well, she's a living example of what's being shown, because the people knew her. They knew her power. They knew her transformation. She translated this film, and at the end, they gave an appeal. 40 people went forward to pray for salvation, including the wife of one of the fetishers in that area. Well, the next outreach that we had about 80 people join. And then 100 people. It got up to, we were taken out in the bush, like 150 people. And finally we said, we got to cut back a little bit. Can you imagine, going like 3-4 hours away, and you have to set up, you almost have to create your own village, dig toilets and all this type of stuff. So we said, we better cut it back. So normally I think, we kept it at about between 110 and 120. Going out, outreach after outreach. Over the years, these kids built churches, probably I think close to 40 churches over the years, opened up doors for national church pastors. They were able to proclaim Jesus in hundreds of villages. Thousands of people heard the gospel, and hundreds of people responded to the gospel. That one, isn't that amazing? 700 people showed up, almost half made commitments to Jesus. As we think of opportunities, I think one of the main things that we should be thinking about is looking at opportunities that kind of go along with the heart of Jesus. When Jesus was here on the earth, where did he focus a lot of his time? On the poor, on the unlovely, people that were sick, the needy, the prisoner. In fact, Matthew 25, it's the story of the sheep and the goats. It says when the Lord comes back again, he's going to separate the sheep and the goats, and on the right is going to be the sheep, and the left is going to be the goats, and he's going to say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me. Then he'll turn to the right, say, depart from me, I never knew you. And says basically the same thing, but in saying, instead of doing it, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. And he said, when did we not do this to you? He said, if you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it for me. Depart from me. Last time I spoke here, I shared about the ministry opportunities our students had in the local prison. And you know, this whole prison ministry started out with kind of an event that wasn't necessarily really pretty or wasn't even splashy. Just to kind of recap, first time I went out to that prison, I think I shared with some of you that there was like 7 prisoners dying every week of starvation. I came through the gate and there are prisoners looking for grass to eat. And so the missionary that was working there took me around and he said, I want to show you something else. He took me into one of the cells there, and it was just cement floors, cement walls, and cement like bunk beds in the wall. He said, excuse me, I want to show you something. He said, look at this. He pointed under one of the bunk beds and just crawling with lice, thousands of lice. And then he took me around, showed me different things. I went back to the school, shared my experience with the high schoolers. Some of the high school guys got to go out and see it for themselves, and they came back and said, we got to do something. What can we do? What can we do? Well, the missionary said, what do you think the guys would think about doing a delousing? So came the guys, said, anybody want to volunteer their Saturday and go out to do a delousing? 2 of our high school guys said, yep, we'll go. So instead of sleeping in, relaxing on a Saturday, they went out to the prison. First thing they did, they took the prisoners out of their cells. They disinfected the cells. Then the prisoners lined up, and our guys got on their hands and knees with water, soap, disinfectant, and the prisoners stripped down. And some of their clothes they'd probably been wearing for months. I mean, that's all they had. Our guy said when they put one of those pieces of clothing into the water, it turned black, just like that. It was so filthy. All day long, those guys just sat there in that filthy, mucky water, washing those clothes. They never jumped up, quoted scripture. They never jumped up, began preaching. But did they proclaim Jesus that day? Oh, absolutely. That was kind of the start. And then from there, we were able to do some things to help feed the prisoners. Then we were able to do Bible studies. We were able to provide clothes. And then the ultimate, like I shared last time I was here, then we were able to go in and actually build a church in the middle of the prison compound. Started with the delousing. Delouse to God's house. Amen? There will be times that we'll have opportunities to minister to the unlovely, to minister to the least of these, to minister to the needy. We had some friends of ours that had a little gal named Nyla. And Nyla found the Lord, I think, when she was like 4. And just had the anointing of God on her. This little tiny girl just loved Jesus. And I think she was about 5 or 6. And they were taking a walk on the beach. And it was near sundown. They're walking across the beach. And they came across this lady who was just filthy. She was kind of writhing around in the sand. And very scary. And they kind of stopped thinking, oh no, what's poor Nyla going to think? And they stopped, and they're looking at this lady, and Nyla looked at her. She went over, knelt down, and wrapped her arms around this lady. Just started hugging her. And then looked back at her parents and said, she just needs someone to love her. Sometimes the best opportunities we have is just to love the unlovely. What some people would have considered a repulsive, scary event, Nyla saw as an opportunity to show Jesus compassion and love. You know, sometimes opportunities are very inconvenient. And let me say this, many times it's those opportunities that are inconvenient that are the most powerful when we take advantage of them. I remember I used to be a jogger. Now that my knees are going, I'm a walker or a sleeper. I don't know what you call it. But I was jogging this. I used to go around this park and then through the park. And I remember I'm jogging. It's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. I'm jogging and I smelled this terrible stench. And I looked over and here's this man lying off the sidewalk in the dirt. Just laying there in his own excrement. And here I am, I'm listening to worship music. I'm going, whoa, somebody needs to help him. Keep on going. I get around the corner and think, what are you doing? So I turned around, ran back to where he was, and I said one of the stupidest things I think I've said in my life. He's lying there. He's just half dead. And I lean over to him and I say, ça va? Which means, hey, you okay? Meantime, there were some beggars on the other side of the street, and they said, oh, he's just sick. Just go ahead. Just keep going. He's sick. Don't worry about it. So I take off, go running off again. About halfway around my run, I'm finally thinking, what in the world? I said, I don't know anything about the system there as far as the medical system. I don't know what we're going to do, but I said, we got to do something. So I got home, and I said to Jewel, honey, I don't know what we're going to do, but there's a man that needs some help here. So grab some fruit, bananas, some water. Let's go down there and then see how God leads. So we go down there, and as soon as we got down, Jewel bent down and was trying to give the man some water. Well, a whole big crowd started developing around us. So we go, you know, where do we go from here? All of a sudden, this man comes up pretty well dressed and says, would you like me to contact the ambulance? It's kind of like the fire department, but it's kind of like our EMTs or something. We said, yes, would you do that? Yes, I'll call them. Oh, thank you. All of a sudden, the bus pulls up and this Nigerian man gets off. And he says, hi, I'm Pastor So-and-so. I'm a pastor. Can I help? I said, yeah. He said, well, what do we do? I said, well, first, we had a time of prayer over this man. And then we said, they're trying to contact the ambulance. And so we're going to try to get some water in them. People are gathered around. Meantime, a man comes up and says, do you know this man? We said, no, we don't know him. Said, well, you know, you're not going to get any money out of this. He said, no, we're not doing it for money. So why are you doing it? We said, well, we're Jesus followers. That's what we must do. We need to do this. He said, I am so ashamed. He said, this man has been lying here, I think days, he was saying. And we, as his Senegalese brothers and sisters, just have walked right by him. And here you are, total strangers, and you're reaching out to help him. He said, I am so ashamed. He walked off. All of a sudden, the guy on the phone says, the ambulance won't come unless someone pays, because they don't want to be responsible for this man's medical bill, even for the gas. I said, we'll pay. Just get him here. So he's yelling. And finally, the ambulance pulls up. And so they put Suleiman, the name of this man we found out later, Suleiman into the ambulance. Jewel and I hop in with our new Nigerian pastor friend that we just met. And we take off for the adventure of a lifetime all around Dakar. They first of all took him out to a mental institution to check him out. In the meantime, there they were cleaning him up. Well, the ambulance was just going to go there and just drop him off. And some of the ambulance, not drivers, but the guys that were in the ambulance, the medical guys, said to the ambulance driver, okay, let's go. And he said, no, I'm not going to go until these folks have taken care of this man. So he's sitting there, and all of a sudden his phone rings, and for a ringer he had this beautiful choir. Oh, and I said, you a Christian? He said, yeah. Well, you know, here we are, a country 93-96% Muslim, and we get a Christian ambulance driver. And he said, hey, he said, this is kind of like the story of the Good Samaritan. And I realized, yep, and I played all three roles. Right? The priest, whoa, someone needs to help him. I'll go on this side, and then come back. Ça va? Oh, guess he's okay. Take off as the Levite. And finally, I was able to come back as a Good Samaritan. Well, we finally got him to the hospital. Again, this ambulance driver said, you know what? I pass people like this all the time. I pass by people. He said, I'm going to look at it with different eyes right now. So we'll see if I can help. So he said, are you all set? I said, yeah, we're at the hospital now. We got him checked in. We're all set. He said, okay, as long as you're ready to go, I'll take off. And so off the ambulance went. So we're checking him in, and the nurse comes up. She was dressed in her Muslim garb, and she said, why are you doing this? Do you know this man? Some people said, are you related to this man? He said, why are you doing this? He said, because we're Jesus followers. She had tears in her eyes. Well, we got him checked in, but there in Senegal, when you put someone into a hospital, you need to take care of them. You know, they don't have hospital dining halls and stuff like that. So our new Nigerian pastor friend became the innkeeper. He would stop by the school. We would give him money for Suleiman's needs. He would go and spend time with Suleiman, come back. We had this whole thing planned out, right? Once he got better, we were going to go pick him up, take him to where his family was, and be able to share the gospel with his family. All of a sudden, one day, the Nigerian pastor calls and says, "Hey, I'm at the hospital, and they went on strike, and they kicked everyone out of their beds. Suleiman's gone. Just put him in a taxi. Hopefully they sent him home. We don't know. We don't know where he went." I'm thinking, what was that about? That wasn't the scenario I was thinking. What was that about? And the Lord seemed to remind me and say, you know what? You don't know all every time about what the result is going to be. We just do unto the Lord. We take advantage of that opportunity. And the Lord kind of gave us a glimpse. I think Jewel might have shared with the ladies. Because at one point we had this man in our neighborhood called Mr. Njai. We call him, and he sold vegetables. We call him Mr. Njai, the veggie guy. And he was talking to a missionary, and he was saying, you know, every night we sit out and we drink Ataya. Some of you remember Ataya, Arabic tea. We sit around and we solve the world's problems. And we were talking about you, because we lived in the community there, okay? Some of our dorms were in the community. Missionaries were there. And he said, we were watching. We're talking about you. And you know what? We realize that you have the truth. And the missionary says, why do you say that? He said, we've been watching. We watch how you treat us. We watch how you treat each other. And all of us have said, you have the truth. Ah, there were some people there when we helped Suleiman. We didn't go get up and pound our Bibles. We just reached out. And he said, why don't you embrace this truth? The missionary said, why don't you embrace this truth? And he said, ah, the cost is too high. It's a high cost for many of them because they can lose friends, they can lose businesses. But again, it was the testimony. The testimony. By this, all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another, right? That's what Jesus said. Taking advantage of every opportunity. And then can I say one more thing? I'm doing pretty good. I said, how long do I have? Because once I get telling stories, it's kind of like, uh-oh. Okay, and you're still awake. Everyone awake? Okay. Raise your hand if you're awake. Okay. Up. Oh, we might have to start singing that song again. Anyway, so sometimes God gives us opportunities, and it's just this. It's just to bless. Just to bless. I was reading the story about, I think the scholars say it was Christ's first miracle, right? The water into wine. I said, what was that about? How evangelistic was that? You know, water into wine. Some scholars say, well, the reason Jesus did that, he wanted to show his divinity to his disciples. Maybe that's true. But really, it wasn't that public. The disciples knew about it, but the rest of the people, well, who got all the credit? The bridegroom. Hey, you know, why are you waiting for the very end to bring out the good stuff? It's the bridegroom that got the credit. Jesus didn't necessarily get the credit from the public. So what was that about? I just think Jesus wanted to bless. To bless. Can I say something? That is exactly what you did with the ice machine. When I even shared that with Stephanie and said, what do you think? And shared it with some of your elders, I'm thinking, they're going to think, what in the world? How evangelistic is an ice machine? You know, I'll tell you what, if you want to bless missionary kids in a very hot country like Senegal, whew, an ice machine is a wonderful way to do it. And I said, you know, isn't there some passage in Scripture that talks about cold water? Let me read it. As a blessing to you, okay, as a thanks to you, Matthew 10:42, let me read it. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. In essence, you not only provided a cup of cold water for our missionary kids, you have provided hundreds and hundreds of gallons of ice cold water. Thank you. Thank you. What a blessing. Thank you for taking that opportunity. You are going to bless a lot of our MKs with cold water. But when you do things in Jesus' name, he blesses it. Take advantage of those opportunities. The reason we don't take advantage of opportunities many times is that we're not looking for them. We don't look for those opportunities. And it was interesting, the passage that Stephanie read, and before the passage in Ephesians 15 and 16, she read something earlier. It talked about, first of all, being children of light, okay? And before it says take advantage of opportunities, it says this: wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up, rise and shine. You know, there's a lot of talk about being woke these days. As Christians, we need to be woke, not the way our society tells us to be woke, but we need to be the most awake people in the world, right? We need to be awakened to opportunities out there. And each of us have unique opportunities to be salt and light. You have opportunities that I don't have, big and small. And let me say, do not underestimate small. Look what a wallet did. Ah, look when in John 6, 9, when Jesus fed the 5,000, and those were 5,000 men. Bible scholars said it was between probably 10 and 20,000 people that were fed, and what did he use? This little guy's lunch. 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I had a friend of mine, he came from a Jewish business family, and he said, I just read that. And he said, wow, that must have been a huge catering bill. But what did Jesus use? Lunch. This little boy offers his lunch. Wow, and look what happened. This is not from God. But I want to suggest something. Are you ready? I'm going to suggest something. I love this church for a lot of reasons. But one of the main reasons is that you love food and you love fellowship. Isn't that true? I love hanging out with you guys because, hey, even in the announcements, okay, we're going over here, and then we'll have a lunch here, and then we're going to have a time of prayer, and then we eat some more, and then we have time of fellowship, and then have time of prayer. And you guys, it's biblical. Acts 2, when it talks about how the church, New Testament church grew, it said they focused on what? The teaching of the apostles, okay? Fellowship, the breaking of bread, right? And prayer. And it wasn't just, I know somebody said, well, that was communion. Well, then it goes on and says, they were visiting each other's homes and breaking bread and fellowshipping. So, and then what did it say? And then it says, and the church grew. Probably more ways than one, all right? But the church grew. So, I know you don't need an excuse to get together for food and fellowship, but I want to give you something that was kind of, I think, be fun, all right? This is a suggestion. Here we go. Call it, I don't know what you want to call it, special ops banquet. Special ops, talking about special operations or special opportunities. And so maybe set it for like a month out. And then what I want you to be aware of is saying, okay, I'm not going to only take advantage of opportunities. I want to journal what happens. Little things. It could be some little small thing, helping someone out. For example, I was in the grocery store the other day. Someone was missing like $3, and you know that kind of thing. You know, paying it forward, little things and big things. Going over to help at the center, all right? Right, center. They call it center. What do they call it? Humble House. Okay. What an opportunity. The least of these, right? So I want you to just think. To say first of all, I want you to be aware of. Okay, I have some opportunities. So be looking for those opportunities. Be looking. Okay, what? When I wake up, you know, tomorrow morning, or even when you leave the church, what the opportunities God has out there for me? Then journal them. Then at the end of the month, have special ops banquet. Come back here for one of your favorite things, food, fellowship, and have an open mic. And just have people get up and say, hey, this happened, and wow, what a blessing. Sometimes it just may be, I don't know what happened, but it sure blessed me, right? So, again, I'm not going to call back and say, when did you have your special ops banquet? But I thought, that would be great. You know, it's always good to put, like, legs to an idea, okay? We're living it out. And it would be so much fun to share all of your stories at the special ops banquet. So something to think about. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We are living in evil days, but there are all kinds of opportunities out there. Let's make the most of them. Amen? Thank you.